Rock out of Stone Cold. The Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the Showstopper.
Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker with a Hellgate submission. Oh, my God. What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars have come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one-on-one.
Third and fourth, The Undertaker.
Do you believe in miracles?
The streak is over.
What's going on, guys? And welcome back to Rivalries on the WWE Podcast on this Friday, October 29th. The last Rivalries for October this month, as we are getting real close to Survivor Series, as I like to call it, actually, bragging rights on steroids, because that's pretty much what Survivor Series is becoming, right? And I mean, it's so sad that once upon a time you would have like actual championship matches at Survivor Series and 5-on-5 matches between actual beefs between guys like Team Guerrero versus Team Angle, or Team Cena versus Team Big Show, Team D-Generation X versus Team Rated RKO. But now it is always SmackDown versus Raw. And don't get me wrong, I've always loved SmackDown versus Raw, but when it feels organic, not when it's contrived and predetermined on the calendar. But speaking about SmackDown versus Raw, the rivalry that we are going to be covering today had a very big impact on both brands, as it is John Cena versus Chris Jericho, going all the way back to 2005. And this was a rivalry that took place on Monday Night Raw. But why it was a significant rivalry is because one of the characters, or one of the wrestlers in this particular rivalry, John Cena, had made his name over on the SmackDown brand. And let's look at John Cena's career trajectory, right? Broken in 2002, really started gaining a head of steam in 2003 with a program against Brock Lesnar, before his, you know, more notable one against Brock Lesnar in 2012 and later 2014. Then he had his program in the summer of 2003 against The Undertaker, his first big level pay-per-view match at Vengeance 2003, the first ever brand exclusive pay-per-view in favor of SmackDown. Turns babyface right around Survivor Series season when he was part of Team Angle against Team Lesnar. Then moving towards WrestleMania in 2004, he wins the United States Championship, has a nice drawn-out program with Booker T, the Best of Five series in the late summer and fall of 2004. And then right around the Royal Rumble season, you start to get that feeling that John Cena was going to get pushed to a main event level guy. And what happens? Goes on to defeat John Bradshaw Layfield at WrestleMania 21, has a series of matches with him that culminates at Judgment Day 2004. And right around this time, we had the draft coming up. But the draft back then was not how we have come to know it today, where you have one on Monday Night Raw, one on SmackDown, and there's two pools, and everyone just kind of starts fresh. Back then, each brand would keep their pre-existing rosters and get a select number of draft picks. So it would only be, let's say, five guys going to, from Raw to SmackDown and five guys going from SmackDown to Raw. So it wasn't a major facial landscape change, if you know what I mean. And in a lot of ways, I kind of prefer it, right? Because as we saw on Monday Night Raw this week, the number one contenders match for the WWE Championship featured four guys from SmackDown. So yeah, it's cool to see them on Monday Night Raw, but that's not really a new matchup. Owens was on SmackDown, Rollins on SmackDown, Balor on SmackDown, Rey Mysterio on SmackDown, and hey, the guy that they're all fighting each other to challenge against, the champion, Big E, was a SmackDown guy too. So in a lot of ways, I'm saying, like, well, did you not just kind of transfer over pre-existing programs and matches from one brand to the other? So in a lot of ways, and you know what, I completely like the old format much more than the current format for that reason, because you're guaranteed new matchups. So when the draft in June of 2005 came around, we were guaranteed to get new matchups. And the first draft selection would be held on Monday Night Raw, And Chris Jericho, a longtime member of the Raw brand at this point, was going to welcome him to the Raw brand. And lo and behold, he opens up Monday Night Raw with the highlight reel, which was his talk show back then. And to be honest, I think it was the only one, aside from maybe the Peep Show that Christian had. And it was probably the best one of all time, if I do say so myself. So as we were anxiously waiting for the first selection of the 2005 WWE draft to come along, Chris Jericho was waiting along right with us in the middle of the ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Jerichoholics of all ages, would you please welcome my guest tonight, the very first pick of the draft lottery. Come on down!
Who is it? Who is it?
Is it a he or she?
Come on out!
Well, whoever it is, they're late. Is there really somebody?
So, my God, Chris Jericho's facial expressions during John Cena's entrance really sold this, because it was a huge deal, and Jerry Lawler said it right there and then that he was the WWE champion and he was now on Monday Night Raw. And that was a championship that had been exclusive to the SmackDown brand for just about 3 years at this point. So seeing the WWE championship on Raw was just completely shocking. And now you were kind of in a situation where the Monday Night Raw brand had two world championships. Now, by the end of the draft, Batista, who was the world champion, went over to SmackDown and all was made well in the world. But for that, you know, I think it was 4 weeks where both championships were on the same show. It was pretty damn cool. But bringing over Cena to Monday Night Raw was a huge deal, right? Because he had been on a main event level trajectory, I would say, for almost a year at this point. Like, he only reached the main event leading into WrestleMania of that year, but you kind of saw that it was coming for quite a long time. And I think his program with Booker T really kind of put him in that stratosphere in the late summer of 04. But I felt that on Monday Night Raw, there were a lot more, I would say, legacy stars at this point. Although, because at this point, the only guy from a legacy standpoint still over on SmackDown was The Undertaker. Like, you still had Eddie Guerrero, but he wasn't kind of a legacy star. He had only really hit his true peak at for about a year at this point. Kurt Angle was eventually came to Monday Night Raw as well in this same draft. You had Chris Jericho, you had Triple H, you had Ric Flair, all these guys. So him coming over to the Monday Night Raw brand made a lot of sense. And his first ever match was against Christian and Tyson Tomko tagging with Chris Jericho. And it kind of came about because in this very same segment, when Cena was drafted over to Monday Night Raw, we had Christian come out, get in his face, and him and his henchmen at the time, Tomko, kind of started a brouhaha with him and Chris Jericho. And this, like I said, leads to a tag team match, I believe, the following week on Monday Night Raw. And following this tag team match, Jericho attacked John Cena to kind of impress Eric Bischoff. And it was following this tag team match that we would get informed of the first time that Jericho and John Cena would ever clash, but it wouldn't be in a one-on-one match, as Christian would be involved.
Get up there. there? Did you see what I did to Cena? Does that warrant me a match? Are you going to change your mind? Huh? I made it a personal issue, Eric. There's room for me.
You've convinced me.
Really?
You've convinced me.
I get the match now.
You definitely deserve an opportunity.
Did you see that?
For the WWE Champion.
You saw it.
Hold on a second. Yeah,
what are you talking about?
No.
That's my title.
No, it's mine now.
No. What are you talking about,
man? He just changed his mind.
Hold it.
You can't. I'm not taking anything away from you.
I'm on a roll, Eric.
As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do is add Chris Jericho to the match. That's right, at Vengeance, it's going to be Chris Jericho versus Christian versus John Cena for the WWE Championship in a triple threat match.
Okay,
I can live with that.
So are you happy with that? I still got my WWE Championship match.
I
still got
two.
Are you happy with that?
Two. Yeah, I'm happy. Well,
I can
live with that. Oh, wow!
Coming back to get some of Chris Jericho. Well, the happiness was short-lived for Y2J. Cena is all over him. Cena trying to stomp the hell out of Chris Jericho here. Get in there. Somebody get him. It's taking 6 minutes to pull Cena.
I'll take the wall. I'll take you to the wall.
I told you about John Cena.
Son of a bitch. I'll make you personal.
Get him back. He's going to be Cena. Absolutely livid. Cena attacking. Look out, he's not through. Cena's not through. You do not want to make John Cena angry. And Y2J has done it. Cena taking Jericho back down to the concrete.
You
want to get some more help?
Man, this was still such a good part to see John Cena in. Like, he hadn't quite transitioned out of the rapper phase yet, but John Cena, when he had first gone to Monday Night Raw, was just something that was so cool to see, because he was kind of like in that tweener where he wasn't full rapper and he was getting a bit more serious, but you know, it wasn't too far yet where he kind of branched into Super Cena and whatnot. But all in all, like, this was a really good triple threat match that happened at Vengeance 2005. And all in all, this was an incredible pay-per-view. Like, if you want to go back and watch a B-level pay-per-view that absolutely blew the doors off the place, I would go back and watch Vengeance 2005. You had Shawn Michaels against Kurt Angle in their WrestleMania rematch. You had Kane versus Edge, which is, you know, an underrated rivalry, one that in my mind kind of really started Edge's main event level trajectory. You had Batista versus Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship inside Hell in a Cell, one of my favorite Hell in a Cell matches ever. Just a damn good pay-per-view all in all. And to be honest, this was the only pay-per-view aside from the Big Four where both world championships had been defended in over 3 years' time. So take that for what it's worth. Just a really good under-the-radar pay-per-view that delivered in large part because you had both world champions on the same brand for a short period of time in June 2005. But eventually, John Cena retains the championship against Christian and Chris Jericho. And this branches off into Jericho versus Cena, because Chris Jericho, even though Christian was a good mid-card guy, he wasn't at the same level as Chris Jericho. And the thing was, is that Chris Jericho at this point had kind of slid into an upper mid-card guy, like a main event level tweener. And it had been about 3.5 years since we had seen him as a world champion, which is saying something for a star of Jericho's magnitude. And he had only been babyface again for just over a year following his program with Christian and following his program with Christian that culminated at WrestleMania 20 that involved Trish Stratus as well, a rivalry that I'll for sure cover one of these days. So you had Chris Jericho kind of just meandering around the mid-card, the upper mid-card, to be fair, of Monday Night Raw. And to see him get back into the world championship picture was pretty cool to see and deserving. And a side note is, and Jericho has said as much since, you know, leaving the company in 2005 and only returning in 2007, that he felt that he wasn't being used properly. And to be quite honest, you know, going 3.5 years without, you know, being a world champion, he had a few world title matches here and there. He had been involved in, I think, almost every single elimination chamber to this point. And I actually believe he had been involved in every single chamber up until this point. The one at Survivor Series, the one at SummerSlam 2003, and at New Year's Resolution of that same year in 2005. So Jericho had been really a staple in the, like I said, the tweener part of the upper mid card of Monday Night Raw. But he still hadn't had like a one-on-one program for the world championship in quite some time, probably going back all the way to the winter of 2002 against Triple H that led to their main event match at WrestleMania 18. And it was saying something, right? Because I've come on here several times when I review rivalries from 2003 or 2004, like the one I reviewed last week of Goldberg and Rock in 2003, where during this time, and to be fair, like 2005 was several years after that, but during that whole Ruthless Aggression era, they were really searching for main event level guys on the Monday Night Raw brand, specifically babyfaces. Now, obviously, that kind of hurt Jericho because he was a full-blown heel in 2002 and 2003 and only turned in early 2004. But even in saying that, you know, maybe you could have turned him babyface in 2003. They really could have used him. But at the same time, Jericho was just such a damn good heel that he was very well used as like the main heel right under Triple H. Case in point, his WrestleMania match against HBK at WrestleMania 19. So it was nice to see Chris Jericho go back into the main event program against John Cena. And I think it kind of legitimized John Cena as well, because to be fair to John Bradshaw Layfield, or in all fairness, however you want to phrase it, you know, he wasn't really that legitimate of a champion, in my opinion. Like, he only had one run with the WWE Championship. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think it was out of necessity as opposed to them wanting to do that. I think with Brock leaving, they just kind of were in a bind for a heel champion that they needed to carry the belt on SmackDown in mid to late 2004, and were just treading water until they could get some new stars at the top of the mountain. But for him to go, Cena that is, to go up against Chris Jericho, a more legitimate guy, a guy who had been around the block, had been in WWE for about 6 years at this point, had been a multi-time world champion, the first ever undisputed champion, lengthy program with a guy like The Rock, this was a perfect guy to kind of get Cena's feet wet, A, in the championship picture, and B, on Monday Night Raw, because this was a big step for John Cena. He had always been exclusive to SmackDown during his three first years with the company. So him going over to Monday Night Raw, the A show in a lot of ways, not so much nowadays, but back then, by far the A show, it was a really good guy to, you know, break John Cena in as a world champion and on a new brand. And one of the things I loved about this was that this was right around the time where John Cena released his rap album. And one of my best friends owned the John Cena rap album, and we listened to it that whole summer of 2005. It was actually pretty underrated. And they kind of played off that with Chris Jericho, because Chris Jericho has his band Fozzy. So this led to one of my favorite Monday Night Raw segments of all time, where you would have John Cena performing with his rap group a song off of his album, and then would go toe-to-toe with Chris Jericho's band Fozzy. And John Cena got the music battle started off with his hit song, Batman.
Give it several. I think it's funny you choose losing progress or running in place. You're making moves, you're not settled. I rip rappers and take responsibility for making future Hall of Famers look third rate. Y'all lost the world like conversation on your worst first date. Ride beats, creep through side streets, in sleep, work mad, that's where rhymes lead. Punchlines, man, don't even beg. I got knees slapping tracks, y'all bruising your leg. You a rhyme writer, buddy, man, that's a joke. You ain't worthy of being my secretary, man, that's a quote. I flood tracks, like cracks and bones, and y'all rappers.
I know it might be cheesy to most, but I guess I have a special place in my heart for that whole song and his entire rap album, his rap artist Bumpy Knuckles and the trademark. I honestly just it brings back good memories for me. But I gotta give him credit here. Like, I mean, he wasn't a rapper, like an actual professional rapper, but he was damn talented at it. And I think that that part of John Cena was something that we unfortunately lost along the way as they moved into more of a PG product and his character evolved into Super Cena. And at this time, I'm not saying that he had to perform a concert every Monday Night Raw or what have you, but I really think that they lost out on a lot of good content with John Cena and a lot of fans with John Cena. And it's not for everyone, right? Like, he was never my favorite character, but this part of John Cena is a guy that I think really was unique and did something that no one else had done and did it in an endearing way upon a initial heel run. And I mean, this era of John Cena was just really, really good stuff, at least in my opinion. So obviously, it was Chris Jericho's turn to come out and respond to John Cena with a performance from his band Fozzy. But when Jericho came out, it seemed like Y2J had other plans for that night.
Yes, Jericho. Yes, Sam, Chris Jericho's going to introduce us to his band.
Johnny, 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 John boy. Ooh. I gotta be honest with you, my man. I gotta be honest with you. That just plain sucked.
Go. Oh.
Whoa. I mean, that was rotten,
all right,
my friend.
Show me how it's done. Go ahead,
ooh,
do your thing.
Ooh. I mean, stinkeroonie. It smells like someone stepped in a steaming pile of hot Cena tonight up here.
Oh. All right, Dan, let's see what you got. Go ahead.
But you know what the worst thing about it was, though, John?
Dude,
the fact is that all of these people here bought into what you were doing. They cheered for you. You actually fooled them, and that's because they're all biased. Just like I said, they're all a flock of sheep here tonight, and that is unfair.
So why don't you bring out Fozzie?
That's unfair. You shut up and listen to me. That's unfair to me. That's unfair to my band. I have one of the greatest rock and roll bands in the world today, back there, waiting to come out. And listen, everybody's already booing them. Why? Not because of the band. It's because of me. Because they're biased towards me. I mean, if this performance was on MTV Live in any other arena other than right here tonight, people would be ready to chant me and my band's name just like 50,000 fans did in England at the Download Festival 1 month ago.
Maybe they'd chant for you if you just shut your stinking pie hole and play your instruments, man.
Well, you know what? Oh, yeah, you're just waiting to boo me, aren't you? See, you've already made up your mind. Well, here's the deal. I'm going to save you from booing me because I'm officially pulling Fozzie out of this contest. What? Oh,
yeah. Classic heel Jericho, man. He was very underrated. Chris Jericho is one of the most underrated wrestlers, I think, in the history of the company. And, I mean, it, in a lot of ways, I think it's sad that he's in AEW now, but I mean, he did legitimize that company, in my opinion. I think he was a perfect guy to be the first ever AEW world champion, but I mean, the fact that he had to leave WWE in 2005 following this program because he felt like he was being misused. I mean, man, like, imagine that you would send him over to SmackDown to get a run with the WWE Championship instead of JBL. Like, man, you had so many better options than JBL. I spoke about it on the rival, on the What If segment with Matt this past week. Had Goldberg stuck around, he could have been a better world champion than JBL. Like, JBL was fine. Don't get me wrong. I think he overachieved in a lot of ways. But for him to have a 9-month-long reign after being a babyface tag team wrestler for, what, 8 years leading into that, and then all of the sudden he turns heel and he's challenging for the WWE Championship, wins, defeating Eddie Guerrero prematurely, in my opinion, and then he goes on to have the longest run in SmackDown history as champion. Like, that was just crazy. And you had a guy like Chris Jericho over on Monday Night Raw doing a whole lot of nothing in the upper mid card. I just think, for me, it was, you could have had Jericho over on SmackDown as the world champion and go in for a Mania match with Cena. I mean, Jericho could have had that run. Angle could have had that run. Like, I mean, there were so many guys. Well, not so many, but there was a few guys that were more deserving of having that WWE Championship run than John Bradshaw Layfield. So I could understand why Jericho was feeling a bit misutilized in this time, and why he eventually walked away. So eventually this leads to a SummerSlam contest between Cena and Jericho for the WWE Championship. And John Cena, arguably with his biggest successful title defense, retains the championship against Chris Jericho. And the funny thing about this was, is apparently Jericho's contract had expired a week or two before SummerSlam, and he had agreed to prolong it to get through SummerSlam and help put John Cena over. And finally, after SummerSlam, and Jericho had kind of become like sucking up to Eric Bischoff at this point, and he had really disappointed Bischoff by losing to John Cena at SummerSlam. And the following night on Monday Night Raw, he tells Eric Bischoff that he needs one more chance and that he's willing to put his career on the line. So there is a championship match between Jericho and Cena, and if Jericho loses, he would be fired. And the outcome of this match was shocking, at least to me.
Referee Mike Yoda better realize where his bread is butter.
Right hands by Jericho, cutting their mark on John Cena.
Why is the referee trying to take that championship title away from Bischoff?
You're here, winner, and still
because you son of a bitch, you're fired!
What?
You had a job to do, damn it, and you didn't get it done!
You know I can do it. Give me another chance. Please, Eric.
You're fired! You hear me? Get out of my ring! Out of my ring! I don't care about you, your wife, or your damn kid. Now get out of my ring!
You don't fire me!
I just did!
You don't fire me!
Security, get him out of here!
Fire me! Don't fire me, Mr. Bischoff! Please, I can do this! No!
Get him out of here!
Please.
No!
Don't fire
get
me.
Out of my ring, no. Dennis!
Please!
You are
please.
Done!
No.
Finished!
No.
No!
No!
Get him out of my ring!
Believe me, see Jericho begging for his job! He's
And that's the last we would see of Chris Jericho for quite some time after that. And 2.5 years, I would say. No, not 2.5. About 26 months or so. And then you would return to go head-to-head with Randy Orton. But that would close the book on the initial rivalry of Jericho versus Cena. I know they had a few collisions upon Jericho's return to the company around 2010. But this particular part of their rivalry was very important because it broke John Cena in as the WWE champion and on Monday Night Raw, and it was Jericho's final rivalry before leaving the company for 2 years. And then John Cena went on to face Kurt Angle, then Edge, and then Triple H at WrestleMania. So it really kickstarted a long list of really good competitors for John Cena for the next several years on Monday Night Raw. And I think many people forget that it was Chris Jericho who broke him in on that brand and during his first run as world champion. But can't say enough about Chris Jericho. And I mean, it's kind of too bad that he didn't stick around longer, because I know we got this rivalry again in the later years, but it didn't quite feel the same. Anyway, guys, that's all I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed Jericho versus Cena. As always, you can get me on Twitter at adamarco25. You can get Matt on Twitter at wrestling_audio, or you could email him at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, guys, stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you next week.